With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Headed out to Las Vegas, Mike and I were taking in the press conference hosted by none other than your favorite announcer, Mike, Joe Tessitore.
Joe Tessitore, guys, when you meet in that squared circle coming up on Saturday night, it's almost like Guy Smiley from Sesame Street hosting this. You really have Max Kellerman on this gig. Again, this is kind of like a UFC-style midweek hype session where the guys just scream at each other. If you grew up in the 70s or early 80s, this is the kind of stuff you'd see on ABC's Wide World of Sports with Howard Cosell.
I'm going to kill him!
Yeah, and for me, it's all the great Muhammad Ali. You know, Muhammad Ali, Ken Norton, Ernie Shavers,
could he promote,
obviously Frazier.
Could he promote?
Oh, it was the best.
That to me is the lost thing with the fight game. It's why Conor McGregor is so good.
And basically Tyson Fury's kind of got the Conor McGregor playbook 101. He's using it.
So we'll be out there bringing you the show tomorrow and Friday. We'll be talking all things Atlanta as well, guys, but getting you caught up with all the entertainment. Folks who are out there taking in the festivities, and it's going to be a good time. And more importantly, Mike, I think, you know, as we make our way out there, and we're going to get to the Falcon Report coming up here in just a second, big story as well as the not MLS, but CONCACAF started last night. Atlanta United did something I didn't think they were going to do last night with us being shorthanded. We're going to talk more about it. But I also think the big thing is, and we're going to get into this over the next couple of days, if this fight turns out to be as good as we think it can be, it turns the attention back to a division that has been lost, and that is the heavyweight division.
Yeah, Jahi, who's working the board today, we were just talking about this. I mean, the Klitschko's put everybody to sleep. You know, I mean, everybody would like to see the Klitschko's in the ring at the same time and have, like, the, you know, the scoreboard fall on them because they were just killing the heavyweight division. You know, we had guys, remember, like, John Ruiz, Galata, you know, all these dudes that's who right. are just guys, you know, we always talk about it. So it's kind of cool to have people that have personality, more importantly, some knockout power, throw the charisma that we talked about, Deontay Wilder, who, because of early on before we got traction with Golden Boy, kind of, you know, languished a little bit in Birmingham. The rest of the country didn't know who this guy was. We always loved talking to the guy, but now you've really got something special. And then whoever wins this fight, going over to London to just get this thing going and get Anthony Joshua in the mix, and we can finally see that guy get his butt kicked. Yeah. And maybe Deontay will be the linear champion.
Neither one of these guys like Anthony Joshua. And I'm sure Joshua will be there this weekend. Mm. All right, more on that coming up. It is 5 o'clock, guys. And as we've said, right now we're in this lull between the start of the combine, which is next week, hearing what Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff are looking for, which is next week, and then seeing how the combine plays out and how certain players elevate their status, because that's what happens. Guys go and you go, well, he's exactly who we thought he was, and he's a first rounder. And then there are guys that move up and you go, well, we thought he was a third rounder, but he might be a second or late first. And all of a sudden, guys you weren't paying attention to become guys that we begin to talk about. So that's kind of where we are. In the meantime, the Falcons do have decisions to make. And, Mike, those decisions start with who stays, who goes. Today we're talking about the linebackers. We already know our team has made a good decision. I think it's a decision that's a year late, but that's neither here nor there. They finally made the decision to move on from Vic Beasley. We know that. That's been stated. They are not going to do a new deal with him. He finished the season with 8 sacks. Here's my question with Beasley, because we know he's gone. Do you feel like you can just find somebody who will be able to give you what Beasley gave you, especially with the sack numbers? Because for as much as we talk bad about Vic Beasley, and there were a lot of bad times, 8 sacks is 8 sacks. Tack didn't have 8.
No, Tack had a terrible year. Had a shoulder injury that lingered. I think he had 3.5 sacks, his worst year as a Falcon. You know, Vic came on strong. We could argue if you just strictly want to look at the numbers and go, yeah, 8 sacks. But 8 sacks when the season was lost. 8 sacks against 2 bad Carolina teams and let's be honest, a banged up.
Not what we needed.
You know, Jacksonville squad. So, I mean, it's just, it was empty calories. So we need the guys that are the difference makers we always talked about yesterday. You know, we need guys that get after it and can change the way the game goes. Get the quarterback to throw a pick. It doesn't have to be a sack. I'm not saying I agree with Mike Smith. Sacks are overrated, Carl. No, sometimes it's an over. You can have it, but you look at the Boses of the world. You look at all the guys that were major playmakers. And the guys got to the Final Four, AFC, NFC Championship, and Super Bowl. Dudes that get the quarterback on the ground. We don't have that right now.
No. And I think my point is, you know, when you talk about replacing Vic Beasley, because you're now looking to replace him, whether it's through the draft or you're going to go to get a veteran, you still got to get this production. And hopefully we get more production. Mike Devondre Campbell, we've talked about him a lot throughout the offseason. We want him to stay. Do you think that they can find a way to make him want to be here? Because, again, this comes down to Devondre Campbell's contract.
He led the team in tackles, had a better year, you could argue, than Deion Jones. Is great in coverage when he lines up with a tight end, even some running back. So does a lot of dirty work sometimes, you know, call his name. I think all the linebackers struggled early in the season. It's part of the losing streak, but I thought, you know, Devondre was, as his career as a Falcon, as a fourth-round pick, this is a guy that I want to keep. I definitely want Devondre. That gets us back to, it's not the argument today about Hooper versus Devondre, but unless you come up with some really creative cost-cutting measures, you're only going to be able to probably do one of those guys.
Yeah, it's part of the equation. I mean, that's...
But when you look at how short this list is, you got to kind of lean towards Devondre.
Because, again, these are some of the tough decisions that the Falcons are going to have to make. Hey, Falcon Report, as always, guys, brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, great deal right now. Get more than one. Matter of fact, you have to. It's two, medium. $5.99, you get two toppings, by the way. Medium pizzas, $5.99 for a limited time. And there's other great deals, by the way, for carryout as well. Get all the details at Domino's.com.
All right, let's talk about Debo. Where is Debo, by the way? Not where is he, but where is he when you talk about... He went from Mike being and on the cusp of being the best player at his position to the injury. We didn't play well without him. We know that. That was, you know, two seasons ago. Then he comes back. We don't know why he wasn't as good early on in the season. Maybe it was the scheme. Maybe it was the things Dan Quinn was doing. Either way, finished the season strong. But are you willing to say Debo is a top five guy at his position? Because that's the way they paid him.
This was an off year for Debo, and I think a lot of that was going back to how everybody on that defense, the secondary we've talked about, how lost they looked in space, how bad we looked against the Texans in the second half, that horrible game against the Cardinals, and then they got the guys in the room with the right people, Jeff Ulbrich obviously working and figuring with Raheem Morris what they needed to do, what they weren't doing. And all of a sudden, things started to click. Now, I mean, I still don't value it the way Arthur did, where, okay, I'm going to bring Dan Quinn back, but he did. But let's hope that these guys are still calling the shots, because once those pieces kind of fell into place, everybody seemed to do better. Even Vic did better, let's be honest. We talked about it in the second half. But Debo, I thought, a better year for Devondre than Debo for whatever reason.
Yeah, and we love Debo. We love what he does, and when healthy. Again, he's still a sideline-to-sideline guy. He's young. He's already proven to you what he can do. And, Mike, they did the right thing by taking care of him. They really did. The Devondre Campbell thing kind of reminds me of the Grady situation. Because you drafted him and you said, well, if we hit, great.
Right.
And then you hit. So, like with Grady, now, you know, Devondre, the difference is he's not considered, I don't believe, to be a guy that's all pro. You talk about Grady, that's where Grady is now. Grady's right in that atmosphere. But Devondre Campbell's a really good player, but you're going to have to take care of him now that he's hit.
So you got that, and then there's Foye Oluokun, who out of Yale is getting better and better, plays a major role in the midseason turnaround. He had 56 tackles, and he's, you know, is he as explosive an athlete? No, but he's a good fit for what we're trying to do, I suppose, right?
So, I mean, he is.
And we've got to have depth at the position. So, I mean,
well, he
hasn't done anything it would make us say leave or go off this list, put it that way.
Yeah, and remember, he got thrown into the fire with the injuries.
Right.
Right? The previous season.
Took over, and again, it looked like at times he was on roller skates, but he made some good adjustments. But again, you know the dude. Smart guy. I mean, it's a cliche because he's an Ivy Leaguer, but he just does fit what they're trying to do, and, you know, he's a good backup.
All right, let me ask you this. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking about position groups. Yesterday, D-line, we weren't as happy. I'm happy with the linebacking core, and especially if we end up keeping Devondre Campbell. Is this our strongest group on defense? Is it the DBs? Is it the corners? The
corners came on strong, and we're going to talk more about the corners coming up, but the corners certainly played better. And again, once you had a guy who played defensive back, coaching defensive backs, and they learned that they got to where they got to be and how they handle the handoffs and what a zone coverage is supposed to look like as opposed to man-to-man, which sometimes, Carl, looked like we were doing simultaneously last year in the first half.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
but Sheffield, to me, is a lot better. Isaiah Oliver took a huge leap last year.
Everybody, you know, around the league that I talked to, Mike, about our defense last year just kept talking about, and this is going to sound very simplistic, But I always talk about, and I learned this early on in the NFL, lining up in the right place is like 90% of the problem or the issues. If you line up wrong, I can beat you. You line up wrong against the receiver, he can beat you. You line up formation-wise wrong, run game all of a sudden is effective because you weren't in the right place. And everybody, Mike, I was talking to, like, what's wrong with our defense? What's going on? Kept telling me that our secondary and the places where we were lined up was just wrong. Like, we weren't where we needed to be, which stressed the front seven and stressed the D-line, and then that's why you had all these problems.
But whenever you watch that NFL film stuff and you see, like, Ray Lewis talking about that, that's what those guys do. That's when you hear about, like, the guy who is the quarterback of the defense. And Carl just touched on it. If you don't do it right, obviously, you're not going to – you can look like a hot mess, and we certainly were. Hey, one other factoid, and that's talking about the linebacker corps. Our Falcon Report is brought to you by Domino's. Saw a number today, and I kind of had to go on this. Guess who's coming back for another season? He's going to be 35 in March.
Who's that?
It's AP, Adrian Peterson. The Redskins picked up his option for 2020. So before you laugh, Falcon fans, I did the numbers and I tweeted it out earlier. Adrian Peterson averaged 4.3 yards last year, had 5 touchdowns and 898 yards. Devontae Freeman, 3.6 yards, 2 touchdowns and 656 yards. A dude who's 35 had a better season than Free. And we talked about Dan talking about what a great job he did. Couple of games where you got to 88 yards. I mean, the more we talk about Carl, all the guys we want to keep and the things we got to do, I really do think if we will not accept a restructure, you're going to have to move on from number 24.
I think that's where we are. And I think, again, this to me is not as hard of a decision as some people may think it is. One other thing I do want to mention, 2019 best inside linebacker rankings going into the season, Mike, this is before the season started, was Luke Kuechly. He's retired now. Bobby Wagner in Seattle, C.J. Mosley, and then Debo.
Yeah, I think Debo, for whatever reason, you said it, whether it's a part of that, how the weirdness of the defense, what wasn't being called properly, wasn't working, strange start. But Debo, a year ago, was one, even, you know, the injury year was tough, but he is, I consider him a top 10 linebacker in the league. Just, it was a very funky year last year.
So going into the season, he was considered to be top 5. This year, I think that's where he'll be as well. Hey, coming up, guys, we got our strong arm story of the day. It was amazing to see what happened shorthanded last night. And more importantly, the guy that saved the day. It's on the way on Dukes and Bell. Coming up in an hour from now, we need your help. We want to ask you one simple question. And we need your help. Find out what we're talking about coming up at 6:20. It is Dukes and Bell. Last night, Mike, we left here. We knew Atlanta United was playing in CONCACAF. First match of the season that mattered. And we'll be up in Nashville. We'll tell you more about that coming up next weekend as we get ready for their opening MLS match against the Nashville SC. Here's the deal, though. We leave, and we're both scrambling, trying to figure out how we're going to access this game. We know we carried it for you right here on 92.9 The Game with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. But what do we do when we get home, right? You're in the car. That's one thing. We always talk about the radio.com app. But right. When you get home, you want to watch the game. And I'm like, on my remote, Atlanta United, cannot find it. Couldn't find it.
Yeah, and I had a couple of guys hit me up. And I appreciate the dudes. Again, I don't think it was mean-spirited, but they sent us the link for a stream, for a free stream. Again, I don't know how these – Carl, you know me in technology. That's just a terrible combination. So I don't know what this was about. So I see this stream thing. And, oh, it says free trial. It says, but we'll need your credit card because eventually you're going to get jammed up. They're going to try to charge. I'm like, so you know, how about you? You ever play this game? I may get burned on this. What is the credit card that has the lowest balance? So that's what I did last night. So I went to American Express, drew it in there, and no sooner do I get that it's coming up in 10 minutes, all of a sudden, boom, I get the text of American Express. Fraud. $49 going to somewhere in Belize or something. So like, all right, scratch that. Not going to watch it that way. Then I found a trial offer on YouTube for the Fox Soccer Channel. Now, again, if you're new to soccer or you didn't know what was going on yesterday, guys, you're in your car. This is why CONCACAF, which is the governing body for Central America, North American soccer, and MLS, nobody's on the same page. The TV deals are crap, and you know we care about this because our team is good, our owner's invested, we're one of the best teams in the continent, and you know you can't find your game. So eventually, thanks to everybody who did give us the link, I put it out there, and I got to see the second half. Just missed Joseph's goal, but it was amazing, and it was some clutch because this time around we knew what we were waiting for. It is part of our big strong arm story.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, let's start before we get to the possible difference maker. Joseph ties this thing up, guys. The equalizer, 35th minute. And this was huge, Mike, because you said it. It seemed like the crowd was in it, the momentum, and then here we go.
Goal comes from Matagua's first shot on target in this match. Off the kickoff, backheeled by Joseph Martinez to the front of center circle. Pitti Martinez back to Joseph, ahead to Pitti. Ahead to Joseph in the box. Joseph with a shot. Score! Off the back, posted in. Atlanta United equalizes less than a minute after they give up the goal.
So for me, this was one of the things that I wanted to see. I need to see Pitti Martinez and Joseph all season become the best combo, Mike, and score goals like this, because that's the element that we said we were getting when Pitti got here, and for whatever reason, it's taken some time to mesh. Okay, but now it's a new season, and that goal last night, it was the epitome of what we could get all season long and right. See all season long.
Now, the good news, guys, we always have to understand that a lot of guys aren't soccer fans. We're trying to get you into it, man. You got to get to Mercedes-Benz for one, or maybe you come and join us Tuesday. We're going to be up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll just roll up the road. It's like less than a mile. And then we'll go watch them at Fifth Third Bank. Great intimate site. And there's only a few tickets left, so get on it. But when you play down in Central America, the refs are never going to give you the calls. And this ref was so bad last night, it was like almost comical. You guys were getting elbowed. Guys are getting cut out. Guys going up in the air, getting their legs taken out from under him. And we'd have a guy look funny. Somebody, yellow card. I thought Escobar was ready to kill. I know Eric Rometty was like really looking at it. Rometty was ready to punch him out. Luckily, we kept our composure. And I do think because last year, playing in Costa Rica, playing down in Mexico, it got these guys the game experience, and Frank knew how to handle it. So not only do we bounce back from their first goal with a quick goal from Joseph in less than a minute, silenced the crowd, they had a chance to win the game. And then once things got heated up, you talked about it, Brad Guzan was money as a goalie.
He was, man. I mean, you talk about saving the game. Five saves in the second half? I mean, it was almost like, oh, they've got another chance. Save. Oh, no, Brad. Save.
Point-blank range, too, by the way, at a couple.
It was impressive. Here's where we could have had the advantage. Because, Mike, we talk about Joseph Martinez. This was a heck of a stop that could have put us up 2-1.
Out of subs, Atlanta United intercepts the free kick, and Adam John puts it down now to Barco. Barco at the edge of the 18 to Joseph at the arc. Shot! A diving save! Out for a corner by Rougier. Diving to his left to stone Joseph Martinez.
And the save was amazing. I mean, the air goalkeeper, I mean, you could argue the two goalies were the story in this one. But the other part of it, Carl, is you get a draw, and the away goal is huge. Because now we can come back to Kennesaw State and just play it, you know, an even game, 0-0, and win. Traditionally, we will get the calls now as the home team, so it'll be a little easier for us, knock wood. But these guys apparently are going to sandbag in their league game. They're going to play it. They're going to rest their stars to try to make a run against us next Tuesday. Mike Conti and Jason talked about that on the broadcast. And by the way, you know, we're committed to soccer. If you guys are new to the station, we sent the guys down to the International Broadcast Center in South Florida to get the feed live so you can hear it in real time.
Yeah, I also think, you know, when we talk about this team, and I've been saying this, and it may take a month for me to realize how good or what this team is going to be and what this mix of guys is going to be. Every year is different, and we got a lot of new faces. I was happy and proud of the way this team played on the road in those conditions last night, but I still need, you know, as we said, to see more. This is the first, and hopefully we come out and blow doors. I tweeted at Brad today about the saves, and he was like, we're on our way back to the A, get ready. They're excited about it. And I think, Mike, the part last night was you had all these interchangeable faces, right? No Miles Robinson back there, arguably the best defender in MLS, and you had some interchangeable parts that played their role.
Right. A guy, Adam John, that a bunch of people said, who's this buster Adam John has been playing in the minor league down in Phoenix? Guy was great. Was a perfect time sub, by the way. You've got all these new pieces. Brooks Lennon was a sub that came in, gave some energy, because guys are getting worn out. The grass was like almost knee high. I mean, it wasn't that high, Carl, but it was like playing in a meadow, so the ball was like, it was slow. I thought at the end of the game, they looked more fatigued, and they were already in midseason. You know, so we should be the ones that look gassed. We look great. Also, no Hazeto last night because of the issues with the visa, yep. So one of our young stars couldn't be there. But I thought you talked about it. The guys that are supposed to lead, Pitti, Barco, Joseph doing his thing, Larenowitz, Big Red out there in the middle, Escobar, didn't have Bello as well because he's banged up. So didn't have the full complement, only had 17 guys. And we found a way to get a grind out, a tie that feels like a win.
Reminder, Atlanta United fans, are you going up to Nashville for the match next weekend? Join us on Friday, February 28th. We'll be out there. It's 1 to 6 Central because you gain an hour going up. But
we're going
we'll be
back
up there,
in time? What?
We'll be up there at the Tailgate Brewery, Mike, right there on Music Row in Nashville. Now, We did the show from there 2 years ago. Had a great time. And this was the lead up. It was a friendly back then, but right. It was the lead up to Nashville getting the announcement of their team, and now it's here. So this is how we start the season. So we'll be up there. We'll have a big United welcome party if you guys are coming up. Dukes and Bell will be broadcasting live with a special episode of Stoppage Time. That will have Mike Conte and Jason Longshore as well there. So Atlanta United prizes, special guest and more. You never know who's going to stop by. It's going to be a fun time, and it's a great way to kick off the MLS season. If you're going, wait a minute, they're playing, this is the MLS season. No, this is CONCACAF.
Right. It's hard to explain, but think of like the Braves taking on the Tokyo Giants and then also playing their regular season. It goes a lot. Soccer's different that way. This is the Champions League. But, yeah, man, it's going to be a blast. They're playing up in the Titan Stadium, and hopefully we're going to pack that house, man. Hopefully we'll get north of 20,000 United fans. Everybody loves Music City, man. You can't have fun down here. It's the Bachelorette, you know, capital of the world, Bachelorette party now. Get the live music. You and I, my God, we drank for 4 hours. A tab was under $100.
Well, that's the other thing. It is inexpensive. But I think the cool thing is everything's accessible. It's everything's like within walking distance for the most part. And if not, I mean, it's a short Uber ride. It's not a spread out city like that. And if you've been up there, you know. But I also think, Mike, they've got a nice, you know, a group of supporters that have jumped on board. I don't know if it's going to be similar to what we saw when we kicked things off, but right. They've got a good group of supporters, and it should be a good match.
Hey, we had a good time, so looking forward to it. So, again, go to 929thegame.com, get all the details, and see what's going down, man.
Hey, we got Guy Talk coming up. People still going in on the commish.
Yeah, Joe Girardi. He got a chance to get in front of a microphone in Philly, and he makes some great comments about the Astros schedule. We'll tell you about it next.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes! It's funny. We were just talking with Joe doing the update, and I said, hey, we're going to Vegas. You want us to place any bets for you? He's like, nah, I'm good. Like Braves at 14-1.
I know.
Falcons at 50-1. I think Joe has his own guy. But anyway, as far as...
He's going to put his business out there.
No. Purely for fun. Hey, man, it is our Guy Talk segment brought to you by our buddies at Resurgence. Don't forget, guys, from neck to toes, muscles to bones, get moving again. They help Squid Billy. They help me. And by God, they can help you. Go to resurgence.com and book your appointment today. But no, it's funny. I was walking out the door, and I ran into one of the guys that works in my building, does the maintenance and stuff. He goes, Falcons really 50-1? He goes, yeah. He goes, put me down for $10. That's $500. He'll take some of that action.
Oh, I know.
Let's hope, man. I mean, the thing is, the longer that you and I have worked together, the longer the odds on the Falcons have gotten to win the Super Bowl, as we talked about yesterday. That's Vegas saying you ain't got a shot.
Well, but remember now, and you're right. Coming off of 2014, right before or right after Quinn got hired, there was no expectation. You still had Matt in place and whatnot. But then it took a year, Mike, and then in 16, the magic happened. And you're right. Every year, it seems like when we think we're going to really do something, and this year was a prime example of that. Last year, we chalked everything up to injuries.
Right.
And you see what happened.
So let's hope that, you know, like 16, big surprise. I mean, yeah, you know, we'll talk more about the crazy odds and tell you some more side bets. We also talk more about the schedule tomorrow, where the Falcons rank, coming up in the Falcon Report tomorrow live from Sin City. All right, man, we talked so much about the Astros scandal. Everybody's popping off. We heard Nick Markakis, and then you heard the comments of Dusty Baker. Apparently there's a radio host in Houston who wants to fight Nick Markakis now.
Yeah, I asked Bo who it was, and they told me his name. I said, never heard of him.
Well, here you go. I say, well, again, that's how you make a name for yourself, other than doing something stupid on Twitter or getting a guy's tattoo of his face on your butt.
Yeah.
You know, wacky radio stunts.
That's true, but you do have to, like, people do have to know who you
are. Well, how big is this guy? I'll threaten to kick his butt if he tries to swing
at Markakis. I have no idea. The other day when I tweeted out the whole Markakis stuff, I had Houston people coming at me. Because here's the thing, and just real quick, Mike, the fan base... Nobody's mad at the fan base. They didn't do anything. But the fan base is taking the brunt of this punishment and the abuse from people around the world saying, hey, I can't believe you supported these cheaters. They didn't know. We didn't know. So guys are like, man, we just feel like, you know what? We're taking the abuse over here. And I get that. But you know what? This is just part of it. This is just where you guys are as a fan base. And people are upset because... All the things the players are hearing, the fan base is hearing.
Right. And again, because Manfred mishandled this and they had to give everybody, you know, the, as you said, diplomatic immunity when it came to the investigation, there's really no way to get a pound of flesh if you're not going to let the players, you know, get plunked. If you're not going to let the pitchers handle it with some good old-fashioned street justice, which, again, maybe you'll have to back off on that. Or as you said, guys are just going to throw at these guys and let the chips fall where they may. Joe Girardi, now the manager in Philadelphia, so we'll get to see him 16 times this year.
And by the way, I think it's a good hire for them.
Yeah, I mean, Kapler is he's a clown. This is a guy that will fit what they're doing, but it's a more law and order. He's an old-school guy, Girardi, in that clubhouse. He was asked about it on ESPN Radio, and he says there's some people that lost their jobs, talking about the Astros, that really were the people that had to pay for it. He lost his job after the Yankees lost to the Astros in the 2017 playoffs, if you want to look no further than
that. Well, when Markakis said, again, you're playing with guys' livelihoods.
Right.
Right? This is what he was talking about. There was a domino effect.
He says, these guys deserve a beating. He goes on to say, does Joe Girardi, the financial gains for the players are substantial. If they have big seasons because of this, so if there's no punishment for them, I'm not sure it's ever going to stop. And as we said, they lost Game 7 in the ALCS to Houston, and then we realized that that was when the cheating scandal continued. Even Manfred admitted that. They said they were a little fuzzy, but they believe the garbage can routine continued through the ALCS at least.
The one that I'm curious about, and I know some people are like, man, it's unfair, the guy was great, is the Altuve MVP season now.
It's compromised, man.
It is, Mike.
Tainted.
I want to believe. Because we saw him. As a matter of fact, I think that year they came here and the Astros beat the snot out of the Braves. We weren't where we are now. That's the one that I'm having a hard time with.
Hitting the baseball is the hardest thing to do in professional sports. We know that. But let's just say if you're getting 400 to 500 at-bats, that's 250 at-bats at home that you've got a decisive advantage, as we now know, for the 17 and 18 season. Anyway, Girardi, real quick, just to wrap it up, he goes, the financial gains, it's similar to the steroid era. He goes, very similar. He goes, you know what, the pitches are coming. You've got big year and you're a free agent. There's a lot of money to be made there. Players want to take care of their families. So I'm not exactly sure what the right answer is, but I don't know how much of a deterrent it is for the players right now. It's a great analogy by Joe. It's no different. He goes on to say, I'm not angry. I'm a man that has a lot of belief in the man upstairs. So much like Nick saying they deserve a beating, I know what Girardi just said. He said, kill all the Astros. Let God sort it out.
Okay, that's not, Jahi,
I know
that's
what
not
I heard.
What he said. That's not what
What's
he
that?
Said. No, that's not the interpretation.
I think he's going next level. Oh, no, check that. I believe the man, he's got a lot of belief in the man upstairs. Things happen for a reason. I'm here in Philadelphia for a reason, and it's been really good. So, no, he's not threatening physical violence against the Astros.
He is right. I do agree with him from this standpoint that there is no deterrent. There's no reason for anybody not to do this. This is why I said the CBA has to be changed. This is why you have guys that are now in a fractured union for the first time in a while saying, we can't continue to allow this kind of behavior when you know there's no punishment. Because here's the deal. Think about this. What if the Braves did this year? What if we won a world championship?
Right.
Seriously. And you went, well, you know, I wouldn't condone that. I'm not saying we do. What I'm saying is Major League Baseball, they still haven't changed the rules. So the punishment would be, hypothetically, we lose our manager and we lose our general manager.
Let's get back to work again.
That's really what happens.
Everybody gets immunity, so nobody's turning states. So that's the thing. You're right. The players' union is going to have to tweak that moving forward. Hey, there's a great piece in The Athletic. Is it Shams Charania, the sports writer? Him, Jason Lloyd, Joe Varden did a piece on the Beilein firing in Cleveland. Lasted 54 games, 69-year-old coach. The latest guy who went, he cashed it in. Guys coaching college, they dip their toe in the water in the pros, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Calipari did it. We had Lon Kruger here. Guys have done it. And you make a fortune and you get out. But you never go this short, right? 54 games? Well, in a nutshell, Carl, it sounds like this thing was doomed from the start. The players couldn't stand this guy from the jump before they had a film session where he said they were looking like thugs out there. And he said, I mean slugs. Then apparently it went sideways where guys were on the bus playing everything from Bone Thugs and Harmony's Thuggish, Ruggish Bone, Tupac's Thugs Mansion, Trick Daddy's I'm a Thug. So this is what was rocking as Beilein would get on the bus. He has no idea what's going on. They said that when Andre Drummond got there, he's immediately texting teammates in Detroit saying, it's worse than Detroit, according to one with sources of the knowledge of the conversation. And obviously, he doesn't want to stick around in Detroit. Well, either way, Beilein is gone. Bickerstaff's going to take over. But it just seemed like it was a bad fit. Players say he was running it like a college or high school practice. Old school, you can't do that with NBA guys. It's never going to work.
No, and this is why guys who think they can coach in the NBA can't. And when you've coached college basketball for 20-some-odd years, and now you're going to tell full-grown men what they can and can't do. You know what, Mike? When guys are late in college, you know what? Right. Coaches go off. Why are you late? And they scream and holler. You know what guys do in the NBA? Find me.
Right.
I mean, that's why you see, who's the Bulls coach who went up to Minnesota? You just can't run these guys, Thibodeau, you can't run these guys into the ground. I mean, you got to big picture it. And in this case, this was like a communication breakdown from the jump.
The guy that has done a great job, but he's younger, and I do think there's some, what that article talks about is John Beilein's out of touch.
Right.
You can tell 18, 19-year-olds at the collegiate level when you've won and right, you're respected. That's different. In the NBA, he was out of touch, and the guy that's done a really good job of this is Brad Stevens. He made the jump. There's been nothing with Boston. He's done it, and he's a really good coach.
Right.
Gets it.
Hey, man, when you leave this mortal earth and you pass on, would you want to have a kind of customized coffin? Like a KISS coffin or something like that? We're talking about a coffin that looks like a radio from the outside?
That's interesting. You know, you have those morbid thoughts every now and then about where, what you want or what you're thinking about.
And, I want to be cremated, do the ashes out on a water somewhere and be done with it. The only reason I bring it up is a story in the New York Post. A guy named Glenn Davis, a driver for the Grand Meadow Public Schools up in Minnesota, he's going to be laid to rest in a casket that looks just like a yellow school bus. He was a bus driver. He drove for 55 years before he retired in 05. Passed away Saturday at the age of 88. They've got it designed. There's a photo of it. I'll tweet it out. But it looks like it's even got little lights on the back
that's
and everything.
Fitting. No, that's fitting. I don't know, man. I've had those thoughts. But, you know, it's like as the older we get, right, unfortunately, the more funerals you go to.
Right.
You see different services and you go, okay.
Squidbilly's already got his paid for. It's going to be a black three. It's going to have the Earnhardt casket.
He's going to have that?
Yeah, and that'll be in like 2075 or something. By the way, good news, bad news. The Earth is going to probably come to an end, but it won't be till 2131. There's some astrophysicists who've spotted 11 asteroids. It could be coming our way.
2131. Oh, I'm good.
Yeah, we're fine. Unless we're going to have somebody's going to have our heads in a jar somewhere. Yeah. Hey, man, birthdays today. You got Seal turning 57. Smokey Robinson turns 80 today, man. And you got Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. She turned 16. On this date in 1945, the Marines hit the beach on Iwo Jima. On 2010 on this date, Tiger, the apology, that awkward apology at PGA headquarters when it hit the fan.
Interesting. We got top three at 6 coming up.
I didn't mean to bring you down with the casket thing. Now you're going mellow on me.
No. They were saying we're up against it, so I was just wanting to hear the birthdays.
Up against what? We're going to Vegas. Who cares?
No. You say that to the Pulse. It's Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.